censorship which prevents the expressions of this criticism from becoming conscious. 4. The following is another absurd dream about a dead father. I receive a notice from the Common Council of my native city concerning the costs of a confinement in the hospital in the year 1851, which was necessitated by an attack from which I suffered. I make sport of the matter, for in the first place I was not yet alive in the year 1851, and in the second place my father, to whom the notice might refer, is already dead. I go to him in the adjoining room, where he is lying on a bed, and tell him about it. To my astonishment he recalls that in that year, 1851, he was once drunk and had to be locked up or confined. It was when he was working for the house of T. Blank. "Then you drank too?" I ask. "You married soon after?" I figure that I was born in 1856, which appears to me as though immediately following. In view of the preceding discussion, we shall translate the insistence with which this dream exhibits its absurdities as the sure sign of a particularly embittered and passionate controversy in the dream thoughts. With all the more astonishment, however, we note that in this dream the controversy is waged openly, and the father designated as the person against whom the satire is directed. This openness seems to contradict our assumption of a censor as operative in the dream activity. We may say in explanation, however, that here the father is only an interposed person, while the conflict is carried on with another one, who makes his appearance in the dream by means of a single illusion. While the dream usually treats of revolt against other persons, behind which the father is concealed, the reverse is true here. The father serves as the man of straw to represent others, and hence the dream dares thus openly to concern itself with a person who is usually hallowed, because there is present the certain knowledge that he is not in reality intended. We learn of this condition of affairs by considering the occasion of the dream. Now, it occurred after I'd heard that an older colleague, whose judgment is considered infallible, had expressed disapproval and astonishment at the fact that one of my patients was then continuing psychoanalytical work with me for the fifth year. The introductory sentences of the dream point with transparent disguise to the fact that this colleague had for a time taken over the duties which my father could no longer perform, expenses, fees at the hospital. And when our friendly relations came to be broken, I was thrown into the same conflict of feelings which arises in the case of misunderstanding between father and son in view of the part played by the father and his earlier functions. The dream thoughts now bitterly resent the reproach that I am not making better progress, which extends itself from the treatment of this patient to other things. Does this colleague know anyone who can get on faster? Does he not know that conditions of this sort are usually incurable and last for life? What are 4 or 5 years in comparison to a whole life, especially when life has been made so much easier for the patient during the treatment? The impression of absurdity in this dream is brought about largely by the fact that sentences from different divisions of the dream thoughts are strung together without any reconciling transition. Thus the sentence, "I go to him in the adjoining room," etc., leaves the subject dealt with in the preceding sentences and faithfully reproduces the circumstances under which I told my father about my marriage engagement. Thus the dream is trying to remind me of the noble disinterestedness which the old man showed at that time, and to put it in contrast with the conduct of another, a new person. I now perceive that the dream is allowed to make sport of my father for the reason that in the dream thought he is held up as an example to another man in full recognition of his merit. It is in the nature of every censorship that it permits the telling of untruth about forbidden things rather than truth. The next sentence, in which my father remembers having once been drunk and having been locked up for it, also contains nothing which is actually true of my father. The person whom he covers is here a no less important one than the great Maynard, in whose footsteps I followed with such great veneration, and whose attitude towards me was changed into undisguised hostility after a short period of indulgence. The dream recalls to me his own statement that in his youth he was addicted to the chloroform habit, and that for this he had to enter a sanatorium. It recalls also a second experience with him shortly before his death. I carried on an embittered literary controversy with him concerning hysteria in the male, the existence of which he denied, and when I visited him in his last illness and asked him how he felt, he dwelt upon the details of his condition and concluded with the words, "You know, I have always been one of the prettiest cases of masculine hysteria." Thus, to my satisfaction, and to my astonishment, he admitted what he had so long and so stubbornly opposed. But the fact that in this scene I can use my father to cover Maynard is based not upon the analogy which has been found to exist between the two persons, but upon the slight but quite adequate representation of a conditional sentence occurring in the dream thoughts, which in full would read as follows. Of course, if I were of the second generation, the son of a professor or of a court counsellor, I should have progressed more rapidly. In the dream I now make a court counsellor and a professor of my father. The most obvious and most annoying absurdity of the dream lies in the treatment of the date 1851, which seems to me to be hardly distinguishable from 1856, as though a difference of 5 years would signify nothing whatever. But it is just this idea of the dream thoughts which requires expression. 4 or 5 years. That is the length of time which I enjoyed the support of the colleague mentioned at the outset. But it is also the time during which I kept my bride waiting before I married her, and, through a coincidence that is eagerly taken advantage of by the dream thoughts, it is also the time during which I am now keeping one of my best patients waiting for the completion of his cure. "What are 5 years?" ask the dream thoughts. "That is no time at all for me. That doesn't come into consideration." I have time enough ahead of me, and just as what you didn't want to believe came true at last, so I shall accomplish this also. Besides, the number 51, when separated from the number of the century, is determined in still another manner, and in an opposite sense, for which reason it occurs in the dream again. 51 is an age at which a man seems particularly exposed to danger, at which I have seen many of my colleagues suddenly die, and among them one who had been appointed to a professorship a few days before.